Welcome back to Entertainment Talk. Today I'm here to do another film review. This is going to be for We Live in Time. I'm your host Matthew, and we're going to start off with the spoiler-free section. Go to our rating system. We've got strong must see, don't skip, possible skip, skip, and hard skip. Went back and forth on this one a little bit, did the deliberations and all that kind of thing. I feel like this is one where I could change my mind at a later date when I think about this film more and all those kinds of things. But I'm going to go with a must see and a 9 out of 10, which is still a very, very, very high rating. When I look back on this film, there's something overall that didn't quite pack a punch or click in the way that I thought it might do. Now, again, don't get me wrong, I think this film is excellent. I enjoyed it a hell of a lot. It's not one that's, fun or entertaining necessarily, and of course, I didn't expect that going in. So yeah, that's my spoiler-free rate, or the rating overall is a must-see in a 9 out of 10. I've got a lot of compliments to give this film, though. I know I kind of maybe sound a bit down on it. I'm just thinking about it somewhat still. And you could say, like, hey, why don't you do the review in a day or so once you've sat on it a bit more? I think I'm going to be thinking about this film for a bit longer than that. And yeah, can always do some later reflections, of course, and whatnot. Still kind of thinking about the ending, and it's one that I'm going back and forth on a little bit with the ending, because I don't think the ending's bad. I think there's an idea there. I'm not completely sure I understood the aim or the purpose. I understand what happened at the end. It's not like it's not one that's confusing me per se. But yeah, it's one that I'm like questioning a few bits and pieces on, but overall as a film it is still excellent. So there are two things I want to kind of praise. Well, th three things I want to praise, one of which I was aware was a possibility. It's of course you've got Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh. Got Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh in here, of course. So I know both of them from, well, Marvel slash the MCU. Of course, he was in played Peter Parker, Spider-Man, in the two worst Spider-Man films, but not because of his fault, which is the Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2. And of course, I know her as Yelena, in the proper, I guess, MCU. So she's really great as well. I have, however, seen Florence Pugh in a couple of other things, and she's really shone in some of those things. And I was watching this film, and I was watching Andrew Garfield knock it out of the park, and Florence Pugh. And I was trying to think, like, okay, outside of the three Spider-Man films he's been in, what have I seen him act in before? I don't think I know he's been in other stuff. He was in that Netflix film that did really well. He was in Hacksaw Ridge or something like that as well, some war film, neither of which I've seen. Was it called Tick Tick Boom? The Netflix film that he was in, I think, which I know did very, very well. A lot of people really liked. I just never saw it. I will say, Andrew, I was very unfamiliar with your game. I was very unfamiliar with what you could do with more emotional material, emotionally driven material. He's a very, very, very good actor, which I never doubted. He's very, very good as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. But sometimes it's good to see a person do more than one thing, is what I'm trying to say, and I hadn't before. So he was really, really good, and I'll be keeping a closer eye on any projects that he gets in the future and stuff. But I knew he could be very, very good. I didn't know he could quite do this. I've always kind of heard from different places, like, oh, Andrew Garfield's like a really, really good actor, and I've always thought, okay, I believe that. I believe he's very, very good. I just haven't seen this version from him. It's a bit like with Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Very, very good in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And does get emotional and very good material off of that. But then she did Quiet in Twisted Metal, and that showed like the different kind of range that she could do. Whereas with Florence Pugh here, again, she's excellent in this film, but I was more aware that she could do that, if that makes sense. So yeah, very good stuff. So one thing for me to get to first is pacing and structure. I don't always mention it, but very worth mentioning here. Now, in terms of like how this film, because you've got pacing and structure, and then you've got the flow of the film. The flow of the film is very good. The pacing is of this film is very, very good. Now, the structure is very, very good as well. But this film does jump around a lot, and at first, I kind of wondered what it was doing. And then, as soon as I kind of realized at least what I thought it was doing, I thought, okay, I really like that idea. I like what you're doing here. And usually, for some things like that jump around a bit, they can just get lost, and it can be a bit just very loose, and something can like lose its flow if it jumps around too much with its structure. But what this film does do, and I feel okay telling you this in the spoiler-free section, it keeps you guessing as to, because there's different checkpoints in they're called Tobias and Almut. It keeps you guessing as to what point they're at in their relationship, because there's scenes that will start and the two characters might look different, or they might have their daughter with them, or whatever. And I don't consider the daughter to be a spoiler because, well, she's in the cast list and also was in what I think one of the posters anyway. So, but it keeps you guessing as to you find out that different things happen to these two characters, and when you start a scene, you don't always know where exactly they're picking up from, and then you see something, and then it kind of builds from there. And I really, really liked what it did with that. Yeah, I really liked what it did with that. I thought it that felt like it would be, if someone worse, let's say, was making this film, I think that'd be a difficult thing to do. Now, that comes from two different departments, and I always say at the end of the day, if you want to make something good, no matter what your story is, no matter who your characters are, what actors you've got, writing is 101. If you don't write something that's good, it will struggle to do what you want it to do. Because again, I've seen plenty of examples. You hire multiple of the best actors in the world, you give them something average to work with, and it can't always be saved. But the way this film tells its story, the sort of structure of jumping around, it's both good from an editing standpoint and from a writing standpoint of how each of these scenes kind of introduce themselves, and then the writing starts paying off. There's also some very good directing, good sort of shots and things like that. Not like symbolic camera shots or not that sort of thing. But the positioning of the camera in certain places is quite good, and it gets you to like, notice I guess certain things. So I was very impressed with that, and I didn't kind of I didn't know what to expect from. I had a rough idea kind of what this film was about, and I didn't watch the trailers and things like that. But there's some stuff in the film that you're not going to be aware of when you go to watch it. I try to think of films that have like specifically films, because TV does it sometimes. But when you have like one, let's say, item that you press play on, so a film that kind of jumps around in this way, and it does it quite often, and sometimes it does it very quickly. And I didn't feel any kind of whiplash of like, oh, you pulled me away from that too quickly, and we got into this too quickly, or anything like that. And the way it reveals kind of different story beats, so where you have like the chronological story, and it jumps around in between different bits, and you start slowly putting the puzzle together and working out kind of, okay, that happens there, which means this happens here, and whatever and whatever. And the first time I noticed that it was doing it was a very interesting kind of twisty way of doing the story, so I thought that was very good. I did think, now, there are tear-jerking moments, and there are also more funny moments than I expected, or kind of like dark humor moments that I wasn't expecting or wasn't sure how many we'd get of. In terms of how it deals with its emotions, this film, so like anything in between the saddest stuff and sort of happiest things, and then sort of the funny stuff in the middle, deals with that very well. Again, writing's very good here, as well as the performances, so that stands together very, very well. So overall, a very good film. I'm not sure what to make of the last like 10 minutes or so of this film. But I also wasn't sure. I didn't find it predictable. I wasn't sure where it was going. You could take a guess as to, oh, this thing might happen. And it didn't quite happen in the sort of traditional sense, and I'm kind of glad it didn't do it. And it is also one of them films that's not necessarily like, oh, we're gonna show you this and we'll show you this random thing and hit left up to your own interpretation. It gives you an inkling to the answer to its ending, and you have to figure out, like, are they showing me everything? Because I don't think this film is showing you quite everything at the end. But yeah, so I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, was this film as good as I thought it was going to be? Like, my expectations versus what I actually got. And sometimes something can be slightly different to what you thought it was going to be. Therefore, your expectations get shifted in a way. Of like, okay, the thing I thought you were going to give me, it's not good or bad or whatever in that way, because it's not the same thing I thought you were going to give me. So, kind of reminds me of like Extraordinary Season 2. Very, very, very good season of TV, but it did something different to what I thought it was going to do. But what I thought it was going to do was very, very good, and the same thing here. So yeah, interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. I mean, I've given it a must-see and a 9 out of 10. It just didn't quite. I don't know if this film quite hits the home run. And I'm not just talking about the ending. I'm kind of talking about like the second half of the film. Because there was a little shift in kind of like the way it was doing certain stuff. But yeah. So, anyway, that's pretty much all I can really talk about spoiler free. Yeah, we'll leave it there, and then we'll get into the spoiler section in a minute. But have you seen We Live in Time? By the way, just a very quick ranty little thing I want to talk about, right? And I've kind of mentioned this before, but this applies to this film as well. I didn't notice this film out for very long. I didn't notice it getting many screenings, and it became one of them films. You know, one of them, like, not indie films, but like smaller films that don't get the spotlight that you want to see that have still got big names attached to them. So, like Florence Pugh and Andrew Garfield. And depending on where you live and whatever, it tends to happen with the cinemas that I check, where a film, because I don't really know how well this performed or if it met box office expectations or whatever. But after like the first 2 weeks, you go from reasonable screening times to like, hey, this film starts at 11 p.m. and finishes at 1 a.m. And because we still have to screen this film, that's the time we're going to choose because it has to move out of the way of everything else that's outperforming it. And it happened a bunch of times last year, and it's already happened too many times this year. It happened to another film I want to see, which is called Companion as well. Because both of these films, this and Companion, I'm going to have to watch from home, on VOD. Because the regular, the good screening times ran out too quickly, and cinemas just after like 2 weeks or something just shifted them to like 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., finishing at, midnight, 1 a.m. And it's like, that's not really realistic, is it, to expect somebody to go see a film at that time? So yeah, I'm finding it really annoying that it just keeps happening, and it happened with this as well. So, but who knows? You might live in a different place to me, and it might not have happened to you. So, there's a much, much bigger conversation to be had there about like films and priorities and things like that. I'm not going to get that far into that here because I have a lot more to say. I'm not sure which podcast I should put it onto, but I just want to mention the same thing kind of happened with this film, and that was disappointing. So, because as much as I kind of, hey, this film was still really, really good, but different to my expectations, let's say, I still would have liked to have seen this on the big screen. So, anyway, but yeah, if you have or haven't seen We Live in Time, of course you can write in any spoilery stuff because I've seen the film. Did you like it more than me, less than me, about the same amount? And if you haven't seen the film, does this push you closer, further towards it, or about the same length, I suppose? Or were you aware of the film? Because if you weren't, then there's another one for your list, I suppose. So anything I haven't talked about here? I don't think so. So, anyway, yeah, you can write in, of course, to matthew@entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK, or Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. In the meantime, you can find everything else that we do on entertainmenttalk.org. It could be a busy week. I've got some podcast projects that I'm ready to do. There's two of those. Of course, we've got a new podcast for The Last of Us. We've got Yellow Jackets podcasts. Gaming Talk podcast. There won't be a Gaming Talk this week, by the way, just to let you know. But that happening as well. United Cast is floating around there, so check those out as well. And yeah, also season one review of Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, which I thoroughly recommend. Absolutely phenomenal season of TV. All right, that's it for this part. If you want to, of course, support all the content that we do, entertainmenttalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk, TV, games, films, Man United podcasts. There's also the categories list on the drop-down menu of the site, so use that for a handy guide. You can support us, of course, by, yes, listening to more stuff, word of mouth, social media. If someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon $5, $10 level tiers, ad-free podcast review options. TV and film news, Geek Town Radio Tuesdays, there was a new one from today, so check that one out as well. And of course, geektown.co.uk for all your TV and film news. You can check us out on Twitch, eTalkUK, but more regularly on YouTube, Entertainment Talk Plays. All right, if you haven't seen the film, I'm about to jump into the spoiler section, so don't follow me in there. I was going to say it's dangerous in there, but that's not a very good joke. Anyway, I'm going to move on to the spoiler section. It's full of spoilers, so yeah, join me if you know the film. And if you don't, then don't join me. So I'll see you for that in a minute. Hi there. If you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link, which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system, which is usually in the bottom right hand corner, to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talk's podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for two episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch two episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show. Right, it's time for the spoiler section. If you've not seen We Live in Time, now is your time to leave. That was a very unintended pun. I did not mean to do that. But it's time for you to leave if you've not seen We Live in Time. And if you have seen it, it's time for you to stay. I'm going to stop trying to do puns now. Okay, so let's talk about the ending. So she goes to the cooking competition, takes her shirt... Ha, ha, chef hat off, that's how you say that sentence, and then leaves with Tobias, and it's got Ella as the daughter's name. They then go to the ice skating rink where she relives some glory days, and they both skate for a bit. She skates to the other side of the rink. Rink? Ring? Whatever. Skating thing. She just skates to the other side. And they both kind of give a goodbye, and then you get the sort of fading time passing thing, and you end up in the house. Almut is no longer there, Florence Pugh's character. We now have a dog. Ella's still roughly the same age. Tobias comes home, and they start making eggs, and of course they use the mother's idea. Now, while I think that idea is very good, by the way, with the eggs, yeah, three bowls is a lot to use just to crack some eggs, but I get what the tactic is. I get what the idea is. It's just excessive. Although I have noticed in my life when I've come across people that are, let's say, more passionate about cooking, they tend to use a lot more tools. Yeah, so anyway, just a side note on that. I guess we can talk about eggs in a minute and not in terms of what Donald Trump was going to do with them. I do have something to mention, by the way, a bit later about JD Vance, but we'll get to that in just a second. I'm not going to delve into politics here, but I'm just going to mention something a bit later. So again, kind of your own interpretation in terms of, you know, she was suffering with cancer. You know that she made a choice in terms of she would rather have 6 really good months and not go through chemo than 12 potentially grueling months that might not work. So, I mean, what do I think happened at the end? I do think that she died. But I think what the film wants you to think is like, oh, do you think she's dead, or do you just not think she's in this room? I just got the feeling that maybe a few months have passed after. Because I don't think like 5 years went past or something. I think in between the ice skating rink thing, I can't say that word properly, the ice skating place and the eggs scene is probably at the most like 6 months that have passed, maybe. And not the 6 months that she mentioned of not having the chemo. I don't think it was that 6 months. I think there was probably a month or two of that, maybe, but I do think a good like 4 to 6 months have maybe passed since she passed away. And I'm kind of glad in a way that, let's say she is dead, and I'm not glad about that, just hold on for a minute. While I think that this film was very capable of doing a sort of hold her hand one last time, teary-eyed scene in a hospital kind of thing, or at home, while I do think the film was very capable of that, I think this film wanted to avoid doing something, not cliche, but something traditional of like, oh, here's a film where a character's dying from something, and they've settled on the idea that they're going, and they're going to make the last plan of, you know, they're going to make the last plan of, like, hey, I'm going to lay here, you lay with me while I pass away, be very teary-eyed. And those scenes work a lot, and again, I think that would have worked very well here. So I do think what they did here was better. In fact, the more I talk about it, the more I'm starting to like the ending, because it's kind of, if you want to believe that she survived, I think that answer is in there. But if you want to believe that she's gone, and there's no evidence one way or the other, really. There isn't. But yeah, I do think you're supposed to, because there was a kind of look, a bit of a look from Tobias at the end when he's holding his daughter and they're cracking the eggs, of like, there's a little hint that she's kind of gone. That was just kind of what I read from the scene anyway. So that was interesting. I'm almost having like a Harold and the Purple Crayon moment where I reviewed that film and I gave it a rating, and as I talked about it more, I changed my rating. I'm almost wondering if I should give this a different rating. Because now that I've talked myself through the end and what I think and kind of broken it down, I like the ending more than I did, well, 23 minutes ago. It still doesn't quite. See, I also don't like, I do think it does go for the tear jerk, the hardcore or the hard sort of tear jerking stuff. To begin with. But I feel like you get this, and you get a hint of it in the first scene, right? Where it's just kind of, hey, I don't really want to go through the grueling emotional stuff. I want to just kind of go out on a good note and just kind of leave it at that. And I do think the film settles into that in the second half. I was almost, it's interesting because I was almost kind of expecting something that goes more into the tearjerker stuff in the second half. And look, if you cried more at this film at the end than what I did, then that's, I totally get it. I don't think it was completely maybe going for that though, now that I think about it more. Because you almost get this kind of, mum's just not here, let's crack open some eggs, let's try to be a little bit, not fun or funny, but like light-hearted about it. Because even in the bit in between the ice rink and the egg cracking scene, when he goes over to the thing where the eggs are stored, he doesn't have this sort of, all right, come on, let's pick up the eggs. It's kind of, hey, you want to pick five? You pick five. And there's this kind of more sort of settled, there's like a settled happiness to it. And I do think it did it very well. So, do I want to change my rating? I've only ever done this once with, that's the only time when since I've had the rating system, the full version at least, I've actually changed my rating was for Harold and the Purple Crayon. I think I'll leave it for now. Maybe I'll change it at a later date. But I'm feeling better about the film now than what I did 25 minutes ago now. And look, you can say I'm thinking about it too much or whatever, but that's the whole point of what I'm doing. So yeah, as this is the thing I like to kind of do. So but yeah, I do like it more than I did 25 minutes ago now that I'm kind of thinking of maybe the intended purpose. And I don't remember saying in these 25 minutes that I didn't like the idea of, hey, they've come back home, where's mum sort of thing. I think that's actually a very interesting idea to do. And in terms of the sort of your own interpretation ending, there's a version of that that's better to do. And this is one of those as well. So yeah, very good stuff. But the bits in the ending I'm still not confused on, but still not sold on, is like, okay, why did she leave the cooking thing? Was it like she didn't want to know the result or something? Because they finish up, you get the countdown, and she's shaking a bit, and she's putting the last bits on, and all that kind of stuff, and then goes over to the daughter and the dad for like a happy last moment. It's like, hey, let's just kind of go. I guess maybe her goal was sort of, okay, I don't necessarily need to stick around and win the competition. I just want to do it. I just want to know that I've done it. Which was kind of her point, in one scene that was also really, really good. When she comes back from the competition, and sorry, back from the practice bit, and he goes, "Where were you? What about the pickup and all that kind of thing?" And it was one of them scenes where I kind of agreed with and understood both of them, where it's like he's sort of like, "Okay, we didn't even know you were doing this." And it's led to him having concerns. First of all, where were you for the pickup? There's lack of communication there, and you wanted your family to celebrate you being in this thing that we didn't know that you were even doing. And then for her, it's like, yeah, I get that I did that wrong, but I don't just want to kind of be just remembered as just, oh, I was good or whatever. It was kind of, I want my daughter to have this thing, this specific thing to kind of remember me by. And I get that and I understand that as well. See, I guess for her, if it's maybe a case of, okay, if I had told you about this, you probably would have tried to stop me doing it because of health concerns, and that would have made things even more difficult. And you know, this is an interesting kind of back and forth, and I don't necessarily think either of them are right or wrong in the situation. And I get it. So, yeah. Especially then he realizes, like, okay, the date is the June one, isn't it? That's why there was the hesitation from before and everything else. So, what else do I want to talk about here? I feel like I should talk about the ending more, but although I think the ice rink scene is like a goodbye to the audience between the two of them, because it wasn't the last time they saw each other. They would have gone home probably that day and everything. But them doing the, because the wave they're doing to each other there is different to the wave that they're doing to us as the audience. That I think is them to the audience saying, "This is the last time on screen you'll see them together." So that is the goodbye there. Although it was a hello to the two of them, like, "Hey, Mum's on the other side of the rink," ice rink thing. Give her a wave. Whereas to us as the audience, it was kind of, that was the goodbye between the two of them, for us as the audience, in terms of their scenes together. So, yeah. Yeah, don't have any thoughts really on like the other characters. It was mainly, you know, mainly a two character sort of thing going on. But yeah, great acting showcase from the two of them. Again, it was great to see Andrew, but for me personally, to see Andrew stretch his legs in something else, which was great. So that was really good. Trying to think of any other scenes. In terms of, it's like 1 hour 45 minute pace. I know I should have said that in the spoiler free section. Makes good use of it. The hour 45 that you run for. I didn't check for like a post credit scene. I assumed that there wasn't one. So yeah, very very good, very very good. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else for me to talk about for like the actual scenes and things like that. Oh, the half political stuff I was going to talk about. So she goes through, I think it's IVF treatment, so it's to do with pregnancies. I swear I remember reading during both election campaigns that JD Vance said that he wanted to ban that treatment, and as soon as she said that, I was like, those letters ring a bell to me. Of course, America's already got its disgusting abortion thing in place where they've banned that in certain states. But yeah, why would you want to get rid of that? I mean, it's because he's insane. But apart from that, it's weird. That's such a weird thing to want to. Why would you? It seems like that seems like something that's very, very important, is, you know, health treatment and stuff. So why would you want to? I mean, it's so they can get more control over women. But aside from that, which again is sick and disgusting. But aside from that, like, what's the purpose of trying to ban that? And granted, I didn't hear anything about it, about that, maybe going forward after that was noted. Maybe they haven't got around to it yet. But as she's talking about, like, oh, these are the things I need to do and all that kind of thing, I was like, hey, I recognize one of the things that she just mentioned. I'm sure that was the thing that JD Vance said that he wanted to ban. And then again, apart from trying to control women's bodies, which America seems to be obsessed with, which again is disgusting, I was like, why else would you want to do that? But America is essentially trying to is essentially trying to use The Handmaid's Tale as a guide rather than a warning. So, you know, maybe I don't understand the actions of someone with a disgusting brain, so, or a psychopathic brain, basically. So, don't ban that, because that seems, again, from what I saw in this story, that seems very important. So yeah, stop trying to take health care away from people. System's already bad enough. So anyway, yeah, so stop trying to control women's bodies and things. It's weird. They're all very weird. Anyway, I think I'm done with talking about this film. So yeah, my next film review will likely be in terms of like catching up with certain films, and apart from watching Anora, I think it was called Anora, the thing that just won the Oscar, because I'm not in a rush to do that per se. For new films out this year, apart from maybe Mickey 17, I'm kind of curious about that film. Yeah, Companion is the other one that I want to catch up with, and then there's a film coming out soon with Jack Quaid. It's like where he can't die, but he can take a lot of pain. That looks kind of fun. So, speaking of Jack Quaid, he is the one that's in Companion, so I'll see him soon. All right, look out for that at some point. Of course, it's VOD, so I can actually watch that whenever I would like to. So, anyway, thanks very much for listening. And I'll see you next time. Goodbye.